Great. Thanks for that introduction, which makes me realise what a seemingly random bunch of topics I've focused on since my PhD. And that would probably be right, I think. When I originally wasn't on the programme, I thought, this is fantastic, because I've been dropped in favour of lunch, and I still kind of feel that a little bit, because I'm feeling relatively hungry. So I will go quickly through this. My paper today begins with a problem, a very simple problem. What, if anything, do three very ordinary techniques for governing an emergency have in common? And through thinking about that problem, I want to touch on an issue that certainly today, but also yesterday, we've begun to explore, which is how do we supplement, if we want to supplement, the concept of dispositif with other linked or aligned concepts. So we saw this a little in Peter Addy's talk yesterday, where he focused on the notion of atmosphere. We saw it a little in Lewis's presentation today, where he focused on the idea of moral economy. So, the first of my three ordinary techniques. In the late 1970s, a Japanese designer, Yukio Ota, beats off 3,300 entries to win a competition to design a new emergency exit sign. Once selected, Ota tweaked the design of his pictogram, going through in total about 58 variants. In 1985, the sign was adopted by the International Organization for Standardization as the standard for emergency exits, versions of which you will see in this room, and you will see in most public, private buildings. A version is also now the standard in a European Council directive. So that's the first ordinary technique. The second, EU Machinery Directive 206/42/EC, a truly thrilling directive, stipulates that certain kinds of machinery should, to quote, must be fitted with one or more emergency stop devices to enable actual or impending danger to be averted. The threat here is the runaway machine. The runaway machine that interrupts production. The runaway machine that somehow disrupts the relation between worker's body and machinery. Once activated, an emergency stop will start an emergency stop sequence, and thus, or at least the promise is, avert harm or reduce existing hazard. That's the second technique. Last week, a security exercise took place. This is not surprising in itself. As we now know from the extensive literature on security exercises, exercises happen all the time. Orientated to what has now become an exhaustively imagined event, there's no longer anything unexpected about it, terrorism. The exercise rehearsed the ability of multiple organisations to communicate with one another in an emergency. It rehearsed a set of very routine, very mundane procedures, the procedures of inter-organisation communication. What the three events have in common, or at least what I claim they have in common, is something very simple, something which resonates very strongly with Sohat's excellent paper earlier. That they're all intended to function in emergency situations by initiating some kind of sequence of action. What is common across all three is the actual or potential presence of that emergency situation. What is also common is that the sequence itself must also exist in potential at all times, a sequence which in each case is laden with a certain thoughtfulness, even if it may be automatic, or at least even if the desire or the dream is that it should become automatic. For all normal situations could potentially become an emergency situation. In this paper, I'm going to argue that the emergency situation, or better put, the desire to exit through legitimate action, has become one imminent cause for the organisation of life in complex Western societies, in a way that invites us to reconsider our now conventional accounts of the topology of emergency, whether framed around exceptionality or whether framed more recently around emergence. blurring distinctions between content and expression, or between the discursive and non-discursive. The diagram of the emergency situation organises life, or so I'll argue, around a complex dynamic topology of horizons, thresholds, and intervals. The diagram of the emergency situation is, then, not equivalent to the emphasis on the limit in catastrophic or disastrous ways of governing the future. What is instigated is instead a series of topologies, horizon, interval, threshold, outside of the smooth succession of linear time, or the endless loops of cyclical temporality, or the uncertain and yet eschatological time of the future catastrophe. To make this argument, though, first I want to focus on two organisational forms that I think actualise the emergency situation as a diagram, that is, as a non-unifying imminent cause that is coextensive with the whole social field, to quote Deleuze, rapid response and early warning. Before in section two, then, I say more about thresholds, intervals and horizons. And as I say more about thresholds, intervals and horizons, a series of images will scroll up in the background to my talk. These images bear only a tangential relation to what I will talk about, and that's deliberate. So, to begin with, I think the recent intensification of ways of governing emergency that many people here have spoken about, two organisational forms stand out for me as of particular significance. This is in addition to the site of the exercise, which has, I think, become paradigmatic of a kind of constant practising in order to improve response. The first of these technologies or techniques is the idea of rapid response to events. Taking quite different forms as it's plugged into different apparatuses, from the rapid movement of money into disaster zones, or the rapid movement of forms of expertise into the scene of an emergency, rapid response is based on mobilisation and movement on the event of an event. Found everywhere for support for areas of high diversity, rapid response teams in social care, rapid mapping teams in the aftermath of disaster, rapid response is a kind of just-of-the-time organisational form that closes the gap, or at least attempts to close the gap, between an event and the onset of action in relation to that event. Not reducible, I don't think, to a kind of general speeding up of life. What rapid response depends on is the identification of thresholds whereby an occurrence becomes an event and the automation of sequences of action to begin action in relation to that event. Second, and parallel, I think, to the intensification of rapid response, has been a second partially connected organisational form, early warning. Connecting to the Cold War, and obviously the problematisation of the bomb as a particular type of event in the context of deterrence as an anticipatory logic, early warning systems monitor the here and now for traces of events as they form and emerge. Warning, of course, does not necessarily attempt to stop the event occurring, but it stretches the time of preparation and therefore action for the event. And I think the most important form of early warning now is no longer organised around the scenario. I think the technique of the scenario is being superseded by other techniques, one of which is the general birth of predictive analytics, orientated to the early detection of events by mining a whole range of publicly available data sources derived from real-time media in order to detect an event in the moment of its emergent formation. So one kind of exemplary example of this, and I realise in a talk like this I'm going very fast across a bunch of different stuff, is the US government's recently announced Open Source Indicators Programme. It has the following aim. The Open Source Indicators Programme seeks to develop methods for continuous automated analysis of publicly available data in order to anticipate and or detect societal disruptions, such as political crises, disease outbreaks, economic resource shortages, and natural disasters. The programme will aim to develop methods that beat the news, which is a really interesting desire, not least because, as Richard Grushin and others have argued, news has shifted from reportage of what has happened to a general speculation about what events could be. So what it means to beat the news in that context becomes very interesting. So what the programme attempts to do is render events in the moment of their emergence actionable by disaggregating an unfolding event into a set of dynamic indicators that are then used to re-piece together the event. Now, there are, of course, very significant differences between these two organisational forms and very significant differences between how these organisational forms are plugged into and become part of various apparatuses. They both have a series of different partial connections to techniques and technologies of biopower. For example, rather than moulding a multiplicity by engendering optimal forms of action at the level of the individual body as a form of discipline, or intervene at the level of an aggregate in a kind of biopolitics of population, what they both do is modulate an event as that event incubates and as that event is just forming. What I think they both share, though, and here we return back to what is held in common across the three events or three technologies I focused on initially, is a presumption that the emergency situation is not quite of the future or of the present. Instead, the emergency situation is the space-time for the appearance of something new. So it's a little different, for example, from the emphasis on crisis of circulation that we find in Foucault, in the lecture of January 25th, 1978, Foucault describes crises, particularly in the context of health, as a phenomenon of sudden bolting, multiplying cases, then multiply other cases, in a kind of unstoppable tendency or gradient, until checked by some natural or artificial mechanism. So the emergency situation as the space-time for the appearance of something new is, I think, and I will come on to argue, a little different to that. It's shifted from being originally a technical term in medicine, emergency, meaning to bleed from an orifice, to become a name for both a particular kind of condition, a particular kind of event, retaining that sense of the emergent, of life as in process, which could go in either way. So even as emergencies may differ in duration, they share that sense that sense of the appearance of something new. So what I think all ways of governing in and through emergency do is first constitute an emergency situation, and secondly relate to that situation somehow. And this is an operation which has, I think, become generic across multiple domains and across multiple forms of life. For emergency is used by the left and the right. It's used in relation to a seemingly disparate set of events and conditions in which some form of valued life is under threat, but a timely sequence of action promises. Everything from the fate of the orangutan to, in the context of the UK at the moment, emergency support for food poverty. In doing so, life's processes are in some way subject to a modulation through actions that, as Bonnie Honig argues, oscillate between making mere life and making more life. Perhaps it is not, then, the state of emergency that has become the rule, or it is only if it focuses on the paradoxes of law, but a continuous low-level preparation for timely actions in the emergency situation. Not a state of emergency, then, but the state of anticipating how to act in or before emergency situation. And this diagram, as we all know, plugs into various capitalist and various state formations. It's unusually adaptive, I think. Emergency is used by left and right in various politicising and depoliticising moves. It cuts across, or is better dispersed across, multiple actual events. So let's look a little further at the diagram of emergency. If it can be now found across multiple events used by left and right, what type of thing is an emergency situation? All I want to do in the remainder of this paper is experiment one answer to this question. In addition to the various ways in which emergency is actualised as a legal political term, or emergency is actualised as an object of knowledge, I want to experiment, and I do use that word experiment, with thinking the emergency situation as a diagram. In Deleuze's encounter with Foucault, the concept of diagram is used to describe a real organisation of forces that results in some kind of consistency. A diagram then is not a transcendent idea, it's not an ideological superstructure, nor is it an economic infrastructure. Instead, a diagram organises relations between forces and holds together those relations. To quote Deleuze and Guattari, it's gloss on the abstract machine, which we can see is more or less equivalent, I think. It constructs a real yet to come, a new type of reality. In the book on Foucault, The Panopticon is clearly the example Deleuze dwells upon to understand how the diagram involves, to quote, a distribution of the power to affect and be affected. How then does the diagram of the emergency situation, or better, the desire to exit emergency situations through some form of sequence of action, how does it give consistency and hold together multiple interrelated forms of content and forms of expression? And how can the notion of the emergency situation as diagram move beyond thinking in terms like an emergency imaginary or the idea of emergency that reduce emergency to a kind of a schematic representation? They don't always do that, but there's that danger. So, how to phrase it differently? Does emergency map a reality? I think there are three things that the emergency situation does. Three ways in which it constitutes a kind of process of arriving at a form through a continuous deformation of temporal and spatial relations, where the diagram is determinable rather than being a determinate form itself. So to begin with, the emergency situation is forever on a horizon, or at a horizon, or becoming and being made present through a horizon. Existing in potential. Various techniques and technologies stabilise it on a horizon, but I think its horizonality, if you like, has different intensities. Different techniques involve various orientations to emergency as a kind of horizon. That's, I think, the first aspect or first dimension to emergency. The second. The emergency situation organises life around thresholds. Thresholds which involve the drawing of some kind of line between normal events and conditions, and the identification of some form of passage or point of passage whereby normal events become threatening emergency situations or actual emergency situations. Rendered governable through ideas like tipping points, the idea of threshold, I think, orientates life to the unpredictable blurred line between normal and becoming otherwise. Third, emergency organises life around a series of intervals. Intervals where action is demanded and cast as necessary. The interval of emergency, and this is an idea developed with Peter Addy in previous work on emergency, is a kind of space-time of becoming. Outside of either linear or cyclical temporality, or horizontal or scalar logics, the interval emergency is the time in which a disastrous or otherwise threatening future presses upon the present, overshadowing all else. The kind of taken-for-granted relation between the here and now and the future reverses. An emergency in the interval of emergency is the space-time for the appearance of the future event. Hence the affects of immediacy and urgency common to emergency. What I think the emergency situation also offers, though, and here there is a connection back to the various ways in which the diagram of the emergency situation is plugged back into different apparatuses or different assemblages, such as early warning, rapid response, or such as the various techniques I began today with. What it offers is a promissory orientation to horizons, thresholds, and intervals. The characteristic modality of the diagram of emergency is survival in the event. Emergency as a diagram is inseparable from the promise of action and the promise that correct action can always make a difference. A presumption, if you like, of the contingency of damages and harms in the here and now. And there's various ways in which I think any dispositif which governs in and through emergency involves the creation of promises around this particular way of governing. There's a Lewis touched on that when he talked about the promise and telos of security. For this reason, I think, and this is a very speculative argument, I think the diagram of the emergency situation might best be thought of as one of the general mechanisms or general machines for the allocation and redistribution of hope in contemporary societies, for the investment of hope in particular forms of action and the very possibility of action itself. So, to conclude, summarise then, the argument about emergency in the contemporary conjuncture. It's not then that the state of emergency has become the rule, whether exceptionality is understood as topology, legal political act, or determinate spaces. Rather, I would argue the emergency situation functions as a diagram, albeit one amongst others, albeit one which is partially connected to others, such as catastrophe, in the specific sense of organising life around a kind of strange topology of horizons, thresholds, and intervals. This emergency situation, therefore, gets differentially realised in different assemblages, including state assemblages, and realised in unison with other diagrams which similarly anticipate futures or anticipates events. Perhaps then the paradigmatic technology of the exercise might be the emergency stop button and the emergency exit. For what both herald is that the emergency situation exists in potential, ever not quite present, but with the correct sequence of action, the emergency can always be moved through. The emergency, there is always the promise of the exit from emergency. And on that, I'll stop. Thank you.